is Allison Carter with the Milestones Podcast. This is episode 48, and today we'll be talking about visual sensory processing and some of the issues and details surrounding this sense. I wanted to bring this up because, for one, I haven't talked about vision for a while, and the second reason is because I personally experienced some sensory overstimulation recently, and it stemmed from the visual sense mainly. I should preface this by saying that I do not have sensory processing issues. I would say that I have typical or functional processing with all areas. And in fact, I probably have a higher tolerance for processing many areas of sensation than other people my age. I haven't filled out a sensory profile on myself in many years, but as I recall, there were no areas that I scored as having a sensitivity, especially in the visual and auditory areas. Back in college, I used to study for classes in the cafeteria or common areas of campus, and I was able to block out the stimulation around me and focus on the text I was reading or studying. People in my classes would always comment that they couldn't believe I was able to read or study in those places because they were so busy and noisy. So if that gives you a slight idea of my sensory processing abilities, then you will understand that this recent event must have been an extremely stimulating environment because I was more than ready to leave by the time we were done there. So let me explain the situation. My son was invited to a birthday party on a Sunday afternoon. The party was at a public place where anyone can go and experience the fun they have to offer there. So I took my daughter to let her play while my son was with his friends for the birthday party. This was all three of our first times going to this place. I'm not going to say the name of it because it was a cool place to go and the kids had a great time there, so I don't want people to avoid going there just because of this one experience. The whole point of the story is simply to show how sensory processing works and how even people with typical sensory systems can get overstimulated. So we can only imagine how those kids or adults with sensitive sensory systems must feel on a day-to-day basis when the rest of us are functioning just fine. The place we were at had bowling, a ropes course up in the air with a zip line, laser tag, many very large TVs, all showing the same football game. And last but not least, they had a lot of arcade games. Now, arcade games are not what I think of when I think of arcade games. These are more like Fruit Ninja, motorcycle racing games with actual plastic motorcycles that you sit on and they move while you're playing the game, shooting games, and things like the Walking Dead game, and a giant partial wall covered with tap lights that blink randomly, where you see how many lights you can hit before they go off. These are just to name a few. So not the low-key Pac-Man or Donkey Kong or other arcade games that we used to play in the small machines back in the day that you had to be standing directly in front of and looking down at in order to even see the game screen. Now, they did have a Pac-Man game and a Space Invaders game, but those were two of the largest screened games in the place. When we first walked in, I was feeling great. No problems at all. By the time we left, it was a different story. I started to notice within the first hour that all of the flashing, spinning, and moving lights were just a little overwhelming. It was actually quite amazing at how many different types of lights they had in the game area. It was so amazing that I started taking videos of the lights and games so that I could show people later. One of the things I became very aware of during this visit was how much my peripheral vision was being used today, but without my control. For example, when my daughter was up above the game area walking on the ropes course and doing the zip line in the air, I could watch her. It was great to be able to focus my direct vision up towards that area where there weren't any flashing or annoying lights to look at. However, even though I was looking up, I could still see many lights through my peripheral vision. And this is because our peripheral vision detects movement. We don't see details or colors of objects in our periphery, but we can see things moving, and lights blinking count as a moving thing. Every time a light flashed or moved in any way, my visual system was noticing it, even though I didn't realize it in the beginning. After 2 hours of being there, I started to feel really sorry for any person who has issues with visual sensory processing in their daily lives. Now, I haven't mentioned this yet, but this would most likely be a nightmare situation for people with auditory processing issues also. But I will get more into that part in just a minute. Here are some things that I started to notice. I was starting to place myself in locations where the most offensive flashing lights were behind me, even though there were still plenty more in front of and to the sides of me. I started to look around to see if anyone else seemed to be feeling the same way, and surprisingly, it didn't appear that anyone else was having any trouble. I was starting to feel edgy, and I was very conscious of this, so I was able to remain calm and not be short with people. And I found myself looking down towards the floor more often. I decided to play a few games while my daughter was busy in the ropes course. This was actually nice. I could focus on one game directly in front of me, and it did help me block out the other lights around me. I tended to pick games that were more in the corner of the room, where the lights were less anyway. When my daughter would come around and want to play games, I found it was getting difficult to have a conversation with her because I really had to pay attention and focus on what she was saying. This is where the auditory processing piece comes into the story for me. Because my visual sensory system was getting overstimulated, it was starting to affect other senses, and that was mainly the auditory processing sense. So I was starting to have trouble focusing on my conversations, and I was starting to notice every sound in the place. All of the games make noises, plus the other kids running around, and everything combined was bombarding my brain now. Whereas in the beginning of the time there, I was able to notice the sounds that I wanted to notice, but I could easily block out the ones that weren't important for what I was doing. By now, it was becoming more and more difficult to block out those unimportant sounds, and at the same time, difficult to focus on the ones that were important to me, like my child talking to me. This is one example of what can happen when one area is getting overstimulated. It can make everything else seem like a big deal, too, even when it usually wouldn't be. After 3 hours, when the party was finally coming to an end and we were close to leaving, I found myself at the far end of the game area, basically now outside of the game area, sitting on a couch with my back to the games. In fact, I was closing my eyes and trying to block out anything visual. Now, with my back to the games, it meant the giant TVs with the football game were in front of me, and I started to find it annoying that all of the TVs were on and the pictures were all in sync. I was feeling on edge, and I had pretty much shut down to where I wasn't in the mood to have a conversation with anyone if I could help it. I did manage to say some polite thank yous to the birthday boy's mom and gather up my kids so we could leave. If I could have, I would have left that place after the first hour was over, just to prevent myself from becoming overstimulated, because I sensed it was going to happen. That would have been the best option from a sensory standpoint, but it wasn't really an option for my kids. Now that we were leaving, though, finally, after 3 long hours, I couldn't wait to get into the car, put on my seatbelt, and drive down the road in silence. Luckily, my kids love to read their books, and especially when we were in the car, so this was easy to accomplish. It was early evening by this time, and the sun was still low in the horizon in my rearview mirror. Not the full brightness of the early afternoon sun, but still my sunglasses were a necessary accessory at that point. By the time we got home, which was about a 20-minute drive, I was feeling much better and basically back to my old self again. It did not affect the rest of my day, which I think is a very important detail to mention here because people who have sensory processing disorders would most likely not be able to recover this quickly or easily. My body was able to adjust back to my usual self, mainly by removing myself from the situation. However, for those people with legitimate sensory issues, this would probably not be enough. They would benefit from being removed from the environment, but would also need additional sensory strategies to help their body recover. And even when using the sensory strategies, they might not be able to feel calm again for several hours, or even until the next day after they have a chance to sleep and recover. Some kids will actually fall asleep fairly quickly after leaving an environment like this one because their body literally just shuts down to try and reset. Some activities that can be calming and may be helpful after leaving this situation might be things like deep pressure activities, using a weighted blanket or a weighted lap pad, or sitting in a beanbag chair, or being sandwiched between two large couch cushions, or other things like that. They might want to have headphones or just go into their closet at home or a quiet space, like in a play tent or somewhere like that with the lights off, and have a snack with very low stimulation going on. Although the chewing actions of the snack they're eating could be considered another type of deep pressure activity. They might want something like fruit snacks, for example, something quiet when they chew it, and something that is somewhat resistive to give them the deep pressure stimulation. Also, drinking from a straw cup could be useful in this situation, especially if it was something a little thicker, like a fruit smoothie or a vanilla malt, where they have to work a little harder to get it to come up out of the straw. I'm posting the videos from this place on Instagram, so check out my Instagram page to see those. I will also have a link to my Instagram page in the show notes for today, so you can link to it there also. Watch the videos and let me know what you think when you see them. The videos themselves are not necessarily overstimulating to people just watching them. In fact, there may be some people that will actually like the videos. But they are meant to give you some idea of the types of visual stimulation that I was seeing that day. And if you can picture all of them going on at the same time in all directions, plus the sounds and everything else, you might be able to slightly imagine what it was like there. If you have a visual sensory story and you would like to share it, please send me an email or a message on Instagram. I can read your story in the show if you're okay with that, so other people can hear more real-life examples of what it can be like to have sensitivities with visual processing. Or if your child has any particular visual sensitivities and you want to share what things help them cope with those sensitivities and what the signs are that they are starting to get overstimulated. This can be so helpful for other parents and for other therapists to hear, so we can all help each other recognize some of these symptoms that maybe we hadn't thought of or noticed before. I guess I should say this now, that visual processing is how our brains process the information coming in through our eyes. Visual processing is, once the eye takes in information, how the brain interprets what you're seeing. So our eyes take in the visual information, and that information goes to our brain. Then our brain determines how we will respond to that information. We might blink or stare at it or turn our head or eyes to a different direction or rub our eyes, or many other options depending on the situation. I would also like to say that visual processing is not the same thing as whether or not your child can see. In fact, many times their vision is perfect as far as what an eye doctor would look for in a general eye exam. If you are noticing some of the vision issues, it is a good idea to have their vision checked by an eye doctor. But I am not suggesting that this is the problem. I have a lot of parents that get their child's eyes tested, and the doctor determines they need some type of correction with glasses. Parents often think this will fix any of the visual processing things that are going on as well, but that is generally not the case. Another thing that often happens is the eye doctor will check their eyes and say that there is nothing wrong with their eyes at all. This is confusing to parents because their crazy OT is telling them that something is going on with their eyes. The reason is that their eyes may be functioning as they should be, as far as the lens, the retina, the pupil. So they can see things in the environment, and those images might be clear because their eye structures are working and they don't need glasses or any correction. But the thing that eye doctors can't see in their routine eye exam is the child's ability to process visual information, because that part is done in their brain. Some signs that your child might be showing visual sensitivities are things like covering their eyes or face with their hands or other objects, hiding their face in their stroller or car seat or on the floor, avoiding eye contact with you, looking down a lot, rubbing their eyes or squinting or closing their eyes, blinking a lot, turning the lights off, complaining of a headache or dizziness. They might lay their head down and close their eyes. I'm sure there are many other examples, but those are just a few of the more obvious ones that I could think of. Here are a few tips for helping kids who get overstimulated with visual input. These are things that I thought of or that I have seen parents use with their kids who need it. One important thing to do is to try and prevent these kids from becoming overstimulated visually. We want to try and keep them from feeling overwhelmed and anxious if possible. Because as they become overwhelmed, as I mentioned before, other areas that are usually okay can also become overstimulated, and they can begin to shut down because their body and brain can't handle the stimulation after a period of time. Kids with sensory sensitivities probably wouldn't make it 3 hours into one event. They will become overstimulated a lot faster than a person with a typical sensory system that finally breaks down like mine did. So consider options like sunglasses outside and inside, especially places with bright lights, fluorescent lights or flashing lights, or a lot of potentially visually stimulating objects. Ball caps in those places as well, because these hats can help block out the upper part of their vision. So instead of dealing with their entire visual field, they are only dealing with things on one level. Letting them sit in a stroller can also provide the same type of relief, although it could also potentially block out things in the peripheral vision, which is where we notice things that are moving, and that can be stimulating too. So the child could even put a blanket over their stroller that blocks out their room for part of the time if the situation allows for that. You can dim the lights also if you're at home. That might be a good strategy, but if you're out in public or other people's houses, that may not be possible. Offer them a book or a toy that they can focus on that won't be too stimulating. Sometimes removing them from the situation and letting them have some time in a less stimulating environment is necessary. If you can take them to a different room or go to your car and let them close their eyes or block out extra visual stimulation for a while, they might be able to go back to the situation for a little bit longer. Of course, that is going to be more likely if they haven't become too overstimulated by the time you take them out. You may need to offer other sensory strategies for them, like a weighted blanket or backpack, a pressure vest, or a fidget toy that they can focus directly on, so they don't have to process all the things around them all the time. Letting them listen to a song or video like that they like using headphones. These strategies might be helpful because, as I mentioned in my own example, when one area gets overstimulated, it can make other areas more sensitive also. So if you can take care of those other areas and keep them in a calmer state, they might be able to tolerate the visual stimulation longer too. Now, the story at the arcade for me was about visual sensitivity and overstimulation. But on the other side of this, there are kids and adults who actually seek out visual stimulation. Some people want to see those lights blinking and moving, and it is something that they really like to look at. This is fulfilling some type of visual need that they have. So instead of getting overwhelmed because their brain is trying to process all of the visual input and it can't keep up, their brain wants more of the visual stimulation to make them feel good. Think of it in a way similar to those kids who crave movement activities. The kids that are always moving or jumping or spinning and they can't seem to sit still. They are seeking out more stimulation of their vestibular system. The visual system is no different for kids who crave visual stimulation. I know that there are kids who enjoy the lights and the movement and the colors they see in visual activities. They might enjoy watching TV shows that are fast-paced or video games that have a lot going on visually. Some signs of visual-seeking behaviors might be things like watching ceiling fans or other objects that spin, watching fast-paced TV shows or videos, staring at lights, especially blinking, flickering, or flashing lights, turning a light switch on and off repeatedly to watch the light, prefer looking at shiny objects that are reflective, like metal or mirrored objects. They might prefer light-up toys, watching trees blowing in the wind outside. They might stare out at the sky when the blinds are open, especially if it is light outside. They might prefer objects with high contrast, like black and white stripes or dots. When a child is a visual seeker, they might need to get this visual stimulation in order to be able to focus and be ready to learn or play with you. They might need some time watching their favorite video or playing with a favorite visual light-up toy or bubbles before their body is ready to do something else. I think I will end there for today. I wanted to thank those of you who are making your Amazon purchases by using the links on my website. I really appreciate you taking the time to do that for me and showing me that you want to support the show and the work that I'm doing with it. Don't forget to also check out the community resource directory page on my website. You may find a business there that can help you, or you might want to list your own business as well. The website is mymidwesttherapy.com. Please send me an email if you have any questions or comments at Allison@mymidwesttherapy.com. Thank you so much and have a great day.